What's up, everyone, and welcome back to New Release Reactions here on Cinematic Reviews. I'm your host, Chris, and this is a show about all things movie and TV. Every week, I break down and review the newest releases like Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, beloved franchises, and even actors like Tom Cruise. You can support the show by hitting that follow button on your favorite podcast network, as well as following the show on all social media platforms. All those handles can be found on either the Cinematic Reviews Facebook page or the show's website at podpage.com/cinematicreviews. It helps out a lot, and I appreciate all the love and support out there from everyone. To kick the episode off, let's head over to this week's new release report. Welcome back to another new release report presented by Cinematic Reviews and Quantum Podcasts. Up first, we have Netflix. Right now, we have Quarterback featuring Patrick Mahomes, Kirk Cousins, and Marcus Mariota. Streaming right now on the service, this is the documentary featuring the three NFL quarterbacks as they go through their emotions and their mindset of the 2022 season. It is a very interesting documentary, so definitely check that out if you are a NFL fan or a fan of either one of these players. Also, The Outlaws is out now, which stars Adam Devine and Pierce Brosnan, along with The Witcher Season 3 Volume 1. Volume 2 will be released on July 27th. Over on Disney Plus, we have Marvel Studios' Secret Invasion streaming right now. Episode 5 will be out on Wednesday. You can get caught up on the first four episodes today. On Peacock, we have Book Club Chapter 2, the next chapter, out now, along with The Myth of the Zodiac Killer. This is one of the newest documentaries about the notorious serial killer, the Zodiac, from the San Francisco Bay Area. This is a little different than the usual documentary done on the Zodiac. This is actually covering the idea of what if the killer was a myth? What if it was five separate killers and not this one serial killer that we have all been led to believe existed? So check that out if you are interested in anything surrounding the notorious serial killer, the Zodiac Killer. As well, on Peacock, we have the newest stand-up special from Kevin Hart, Reality Check. So definitely check that out if you're a fan of his. Over on Prime Video, we have Jack Ryan, the final season going on right now. New episodes arrive every Friday. On Apple TV Plus, two shows are going on right now. First, we have Hijacked, starring Idris Elba. New episodes of that drop every Wednesday. And then The Crowded Room, starring Tom Holland and Amanda Seyfried. New episodes of that drop every Friday. And then on VOD, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 is out now for you to rent or own, along with Transformers, Rise of the Beasts, The Blackening, and Wes Anderson's Asteroid City. We just got some new information. So on Disney Plus, August 2nd, you'll be able to stream Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, as well as getting your hard copies, such as Steelbooks, Blu-rays, DVDs, all that stuff, on August 1st. So be on the lookout for those if you are into the hard copy or Disney Plus. But right now you can, if you are a collector of digital movies, you can just buy Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 today on iTunes, Vudu, Amazon Prime, whatever you have your library on. And then in theaters, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 is out now. This is the film that I'll be talking about in just a short moment, along with Insidious, The Red Door, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, Sound of Freedom, which has been getting a lot of controversy around it lately, and then Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Looking ahead, we have Oppenheimer and Barbie coming out this weekend on July 21st. This has been marked as the Barbenheimer weekend, so I'm very excited about that. Then we have Haunted Mansion coming on July 28th, starring Rosario Dawson. As well as Talk to Me is coming out on July 28th as well. And then going into August, we have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem arriving on August 2nd. And then Meg 2 The Trench, starring Jason Statham, coming out on August 4th. Well, that is this week's new release report. Come back next time for some more new release updates. For the rest of today's episode, we will be in full spoiler territory. So if you have not seen Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 yet, please pause the episode right here if you do not want anything spoiled. If you have seen the film, enjoy the rest of the episode. If anything happens to them, there's no place that I won't go to kill you. That is written. Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, Part 1 is next.
Our lives are the sum of our choices. And we cannot escape the past. Ethan, this mission of yours is gonna cost you dearly.
The world is changing. Truth is vanishing. War is coming.
It's been a long time, Fran. You've no idea the power I represent. It knows your story and how it ends.
Listen to me. The world's coming after you.
His fate is written. Shall we write yours too?
If anything happens to them, there's no place that I won't go to kill you. That is written.
What's your objective? What's your ultimate objective?
Your life will always matter more to me than my own.
None of our lives can matter more than this mission.
I don't accept that.
Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 was finally released on July 12th. The film stars Tom Cruise returning as Ethan Hunt, Haley Atwell as Grace, Ving Rhames returning as Luther, Simon Pegg returning as Benji, Rebecca Ferguson returning as Ilsa Faust, Vanessa Kirby returning as the White Widow, Issa Morales as Gabriel, and Palm Clementeith as Paris. The film was directed once again by Christopher McQuarrie, who is best known for Top Gun Maverick, Edge of Tomorrow, Mission Impossible Fallout, and The Usual Suspects. So far, the film has grossed $235 million against an estimated $290 million budget, making it the most expensive Mission Impossible film, as well as the most expensive film of Tom Cruise's career. Tom Cruise and Ving Rhames are the only two actors to appear in all seven Mission Impossible films. This film and its sequel, Dead Reckoning Part 2, will be the first Mission Impossible films to be shot on digital. The previous six were shot on 35mm film. This is the longest film in the franchise, clocking in at 2 hours and 43 minutes. The opening credits do not appear until the 28-minute mark. The armored vehicle that Paris, aka Palm Clementeith, drives is a light multi-role vehicle, or Lynx, as the Italian army calls it, and then Panther, which is what the British army calls it. It is a really cool vehicle, and I will talk about it a little bit in today's episode. Nicholas Hoult was originally cast as the villain of the film, but scheduling conflicts with Hulu's The Great forced him to drop out. This is where Issa Morales was then cast in. Lastly, Tom Cruise has stated that Dead Reckoning Parts 1 and 2 will not only be his last times portraying Ethan Hunt, but will also be the final main installments of this beloved franchise. So Dead Reckoning Part 1 is finally here, and it is awesome. It's been 5 years since we last saw Ethan Hunt battle the Apostles in Mission Impossible Fallout. This time around, we find Ethan meeting his match. Ethan and his IMF team must stop a powerful AI called the Entity. The Entity has recruited someone from Ethan's past to stop him from saving the world once again. This is an incredible installment of the Mission Impossible franchise. I've seen this film twice now, and it's only getting better with each rewatch. I had the honor of seeing the film 2 days before its official release at the Early Access fan event at Marcus Theaters. It was an awesome experience. I hope that I get the chance to attend more events like this. In order to get a better understanding and appreciation for the film, I saw it a second time over the weekend as well. And I just loved it in both times. I just can't wait to own it so I can rewatch it over and over again. Everything about this film is just really, really awesome. The action, the cast, the story, everything makes this such an enjoyable film for not just diehard in Mission Impossible fans, but for everyone that just loves watching movies in the theater. I mean, as Tom Cruise always puts it, like, he does this for audiences to enjoy and have a magical experience. And Dead Reckoning Part 1 definitely delivers on it. Tom Cruise gives another fantastic performance as everyone's favorite IMF agent, Ethan Hunt. He battles an old friend on a moving train, drives a tiny yellow car around Rome with one hand, and of course, drives a motorcycle off a cliff, as we saw in the trailers and in all the behind-the-scenes footage that was available to us leading up to the film's release. Tom Cruise is easily in my favorite top five actors of all time. I mean, Mission Impossible is probably my favorite franchise ever. In preparation for the film's release and for today's episode, I rewatched the entire franchise. My youngest sister actually watched most of them with me. She is now a huge fan of the franchise, which I'm excited about. She actually attended the fan event with me and my brother, which was awesome and made the experience even better watching it with them. I'll get into this later on in today's episode, but I had a tough time ranking Dead Reckoning Part 1 against the rest of the franchise after rewatching them all, because it's just a really fascinating experience. I think I finally landed on where it's going to be placed on the list, but I'll reveal that during the ranking segment of today's episode. So Ethan, he is tasked with finding this key that unlocks the secret to taking down the entity, which is the villain of these next two chapters. The key ends up being lost at the beginning of the film during this crazy submarine sequence, which was cool. I love how this whole sequence played out. It got major Hunt for Red October vibes from it. Turns out the Russian sub was chasing a Phantom the entire time. The entity made the Russians believe that they were under attack by an enemy sub, when in fact it was just the entity attacking the sub itself. It was a wild way to set up this incredible film. It gives the audience a good idea of what the entity is really capable of. The key ends up getting split into two pieces, which kicks off this wild race around the world for these two halves that we kind of see unfold throughout this film, and then which will eventually spill into part two, which will supposedly wrap up this entire story. After that, we then jump forward a bit to our first stop in this race for the keys. Turns out Ilse Faust, played by Rebecca Ferguson, has one of the key halves. Ferguson is back as the badass Ilsa, and she is awesome. I've loved the Ilsa character ever since we first met her in Rogue Nation. It's one of the reasons why I love that film so much. She doesn't have a whole lot to do in this film, but she still plays a very, very important role. She unfortunately dies at the hands of Gabriel. This was a very intense and devastating scene, at least for me, because, like I said, Ilsa was one of my favorite characters in the last two installments. It's understandable that she kind of had a smaller role in this film because, you know, this film is juggling so many other characters. We have Benji, Luther. I mean, even Tom Cruise at certain points has to take a back seat as well in order to focus on other characters, you know, like Hayley Atwell's Grace and Issa Morales' Gabriel and Pompeo Muti's Paris. You know, it's a lot of characters being juggled throughout this entire movie. Hayley Atwell, she is probably one of the main characters, aside from Cruise, of course. It's still Cruise's movie, But Atwell is in a lot of this film. I thought she was fantastic in this. Most people, myself included, know her as Agent Peggy Carter from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. She has pretty much separated herself from the MCU, from what I understand, since her brief cameo in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which I'm glad for. I think she is a terrific actress who can pretty much do anything she wants. She's an awesome addition to the Mission Impossible franchise. Some other newcomers include, like I said, Issa Morales as Gabriel, who is he is the villain of this part one. But in all reality, the entity is the main villain. He is just kind of this messenger slash surrogate figure for the entity to kind of talk through. And then we have Palm Clementeith as Paris, who is kind of his muscle, his right-hand person. Clementeith, of course, plays Mantis in the Guardians of the Galaxy, part of the MCU. She was incredible in this film as Paris. She was a total badass during all the action sequences, especially that alleyway scene where we see her go head-to-head with Cruz in this tight little gated-off alleyway in Venice. That was really, really awesome. She also has a big part in this crazy chase sequence through Rome, which I'll talk about shortly. Morales, on the other hand, I've seen before, but I can't think of anything else he has been in on the top of my head. I'm looking at his IMDb page right now, and it looks like he played Slade Wilson, aka Deathstroke, in the DC show Titans, which is awesome. I love that series. I'm starting to remember him in there now. If you haven't seen that series yet, definitely check it out, especially if you're a DC fan. All four seasons are streaming now on Max. It's really, really awesome. I really enjoy that show. Back to Morales, though. He plays Gabriel in this film. He is from Ethan's past before he joined the IMF. I thought that was a great idea to kind of incorporate into this film. We never really got an explanation as to how members of the IMF become a part of the agency in the first place. Dead Reckoning finally kind of explains it. So the agency offers people a choice. You either go to jail, you either die, or you become a ghost for the IMF to use. Gabriel is the reason why Ethan decides to join the IMF. Ethan ends up getting framed for the death of a woman named Maria that we saw in this flashback sequence, who seems to be someone that Ethan is very, very close to. In this flashback, we see Gabriel kills her and then ends up framing Ethan for her murder. Like Ethan says in the film, Gabriel made him the man that he is today, and it was because of this experience in this flashback that we see. I'm sure part two is going to dive into this flashback a little deeper, since it's the reason behind Ethan joining the IMF in the first place, so I'm excited about that. Morales was great, though. I'm looking forward to seeing the Gabriel character in part two. I'm sure we'll get another epic showdown between him and Ethan at some point in that film. Their fight on top of the moving train at the end of the film was awesome. It was very similar to the fight between Cruz and John Voight's character, Jim Phelps, in the first Mission Impossible film. So I'm really glad I watched that before this, because actually a lot of this film felt like that first film. Ethan running around Venice trying to save Haley Atwell was very similar to him, you know, running around at the beginning of the first film when his team is starting to get killed off one by one. So it was really cool to kind of see the same vibe from the two films, you know, being so many years apart. It was really, really cool. Luther and Benji returned, of course. They're huge parts of this franchise now. I love the back and forth between Ving Rhames and Simon Pegg throughout, not just this film, but, you know, the franchise in general. I especially like it during this airport scene in Abu Dhabi, which is kind of their first mission on this this race to the keys. That whole airport sequence was awesome. Benji ends up having to answer these riddles in order to stop a nuclear bomb from going off in the airport. It was very, very intense, yet entertaining as hell. I love that whole sequence. Eventually, Luther has to go on his own off-grid in order to find a way to stop the entity. I'm positive he'll pop up again in part two with some kind of plan to take down that entity, but it's really nice to see him again, even if it was for a brief amount of screen time. Benji is with Ethan at the end of the film, so he'll definitely be back as well. I love his relationship with Ethan, and this installment only cements it further. I'm really looking forward to seeing what Simon Pegg has to overcome next in part two. he was just really, really great in this franchise. Vanessa Kirby also returns as the White Widow, which is awesome. We last saw her in Fallout. I love seeing her pop up in films. She'll be starring alongside Joaquin Phoenix later this year and Ridley Scott's Napoleon, which I'm really excited about. She's great in Dead Reckoning. She was really, really fantastic in the Venice Club sequence. It gets revealed that she has one of the other key halves, so Ethan must meet up with her again in order to get that part of the key. And then Kittredge is back as well. We last saw him in the first Mission Impossible film. It was awesome seeing him back after all these years. Turns out he wants the key in order to control the entity for future wars. I wasn't really surprised by that, though, because I never really did trust him back in the first film. So it's not really surprising that he is looking at some kind of motivation to get his hands on this AI program called the entity. Now, the Rome sequence. I mentioned it earlier. This is probably my favorite part of the film. We get Cruz and Atwell driving through Rome in not just one, not two, but four different vehicles. So first we get Ethan on a police bike chasing down Atwell, who steals a police car. I love watching Cruz on a bike. It's another one of the reasons why I love Rogue Nation so much. Atwell is really good in the sequence. She played it very, very well. There was a lot of subtle comedy throughout this, which was incredible. Atwell ends up getting hit by Pom Clemency's character, who is driving that big Hummer-like vehicle I was talking about. That thing is monstrous. It's awesome. I love the design of it. And Pom Clemency did such a fantastic job in this sequence. She was really, really good. While Atwell is concussed after being hit by the Paris character, Cruz, kind of off camera, drives his motorcycle into two of Clemente's guys, which was awesome. We get this really cool effect of kind of like simulating the effect of Atwell being concussed and kind of in shock after being hit by the car, and then kind of like off to the side. It's really, really quiet. I love that effect too, where we just kind of hear like this ringing noise as if we were in that accident with Atwell. But then we see at the corner of the camera, we see this motorcycle come flying in and crashing into two of the dudes, and it was really, really cool. Atwell and Cruz then end up getting handcuffed together, which makes this sequence even better. I love that little element to it. They end up stealing another car to get away from the Paris character. Since they're handcuffed, Atwell is forced to drive it first, which was hilarious because you have her freaking out and Cruz is like directing her around Rome. It was a lot like a parent teaching their teenager to drive the first time. It was a lot of fun. Eventually, you know, Cruz ends up driving, and then we get to see him kind of do his thing, driving throughout Rome in this little in this car. But yeah, it was just really, really awesome. Eventually they end up in this tiny yellow car, this vintage Fiat 500. I love Cruz's reaction when his phone picks it out. It was just priceless. So that he then has to drive this little car around Rome with one hand because, you know, the handcuffs, which he did practically. That was another cool thing about the early access event that I went to. We got to see them film this sequence with, you know, Cruz driving around Rome with one hand being handcuffed to Atwell. It's really, really cool how they shot this. Cruz is freaking amazing in all these stunts. He was just awesome to watch. So they're driving around Rome, you know, they're dodging the Paris character, they're dodging cops, they're dodging pedestrians. You know, this whole crazy sequence is just wild, and I love it. This all ends with Cruz driving backwards down this dark tunnel leading into the subway. This is where Atwell ditches him, leaving Cruz to have to rip off the steering wheel of the car and jump out of the way to avoid being ran over by the subway. It was an insane way to end this awesome, awesome sequence. So the film ends with the incredible train sequence that we saw in the trailers. So Hayley Atwell puts on a Vanessa Kirby mask and has a meeting with Kittredge on this train. Again, very, very similar to the first Mission Impossible film, where we see Kittredge on the train trying to track down this Max character and get John Voight's character under arrest. The White Widow has apparently made a deal with Kittredge in regards to the key. Kittredge will give her $100 million for both halves of the key. While this is going on, Ethan must find a way onto the train since the entity destroyed their mask machine and device that we saw in previous films. Ethan was supposed to go undercover as the White Widow's brother. What was his name? Wow, I can't believe I'm drawing a blank on his name. He was in Fallout as well. I think it's Zala or something like that. Either way, he was originally going to wear his face, but with the entity screwing up the device, only Atwill has the mask. So she has to go in by herself. This forces Cruz to do that insane cliff jump that we saw in all the trailers and all the behind-the-scenes footage leading up to the film. When Cruz went off that cliff, my theater was dead quiet. Everyone was holding their breath. I don't think I've ever been in a more quiet moment than that moment. Just everybody was just in pure silence. It was one of the most incredible experiences ever to be in that moment for just that split second of just complete silence, watching Cruz jump off this cliff, which he actually did. If you've seen the behind the scenes stuff, he actually jumped off this cliff like 8 or 9 times. It's just ridiculous the kind of stuff that he is doing now, but this jump is just incredible. So after he makes this insane jump, Ethan makes it onto the train by crashing into a freaking window while also pushing a dude out of the train at the same time. It was an awesome sequence. It was really, really quick, but it was really cool how they did it. Ethan then fights Gabriel on top of the train, which was very, very well choreographed. You know, you have Gabriel twirling around his knife like a badass. You have Ethan dodging these the parts of the train, you know, with the lights and stuff. You know, they're having to dodge, and then eventually they go into the tunnel, so they're kind of like fighting each other on their stomachs. It was really, really cool how they did this. While this is all going on, we have Haley Atwell trying to stop the train, but Gabriel sabotaged it too well, so she's kind of out of luck there. This all leads to this insane sequence where Cruz and Atwell have to move through each train car as they fall off this destroyed bridge that Gabriel set up. I love this whole idea of each car having a different like obstacle they got to overcome. It was really cool how they did this. There's the kitchen of hell, as I like to call it. You know, they have the ovens on fire and the grease from the fires are flying everywhere, causing them to slip. There's the free fall sequence where we see Atwell and Cruz kind of floating in zero gravity for a couple of seconds. It was really, really cool how they filmed it. And then, of course, we have this falling piano sequence where Atwell and Cruz kind of have to like jump from side to side in order to dodge this piano from falling on top of them. It was really, really cool. Again, this whole section of the film was really, really well done and very entertaining. I absolutely loved it. Going to this, I knew there would be some kind of cliffhanger now. I mean, it was pretty obvious. They pretty much promoted this installment as a part one. So going into it, it's really no surprise that we were going to see the team kind of split up for this period of time. Like I said, Luther is going underground in order to fight the entity off grid so that he can try to find some kind of weakness in the source code or try to find some kind of answers to what the key unlocks. That's a really big mystery in this film, is only a select few people know what the actual key unlocked and what secrets it holds. So it's really, really exciting to finally kind of get all that revealed in part two. Atwell is being taken in by Kittredge in order to become an IMF agent. We get that cool sequence, cool scene before all this train stuff where Ethan is explaining to Haley Atwell kind of how IMF recruiting works. You know, they always leave you with a choice. You can either, you know, go to jail. You can either die, or you can become a ghost for them. So it's really interesting to think of like, what kind of situation was Benji in when he got recruited? What sort of bad situation was Luther in when he got recruited? And then, of course, like, what was up with Ethan Hunt when he got recruited? Like, what's this whole thing around this Maria woman and Gabriel? I'm sure part two is going to answer all this, but it really brings forward a lot of questions that I honestly didn't really have going into this film. This is when they brought up this idea of the IMF giving you a choice of joining or going to jail or dying, it was like, that really got the gears in my head going like, wow, exactly what situation was you know, Ethan Hunt in when he was given this choice to join the IMF. Like, it had to have been something really, 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 really bad for him to join. Speaking to Ethan, then we get Ethan and Benji going off on their way to find this Russian sub that we saw in the opening sequence of the film. It looks like this was under the water in the Arctic, so we're going to get some Arctic sequences in part two, I'm sure. I'm really excited about. I'm really looking forward to part two. It's probably one of my most anticipated films coming up. I think everything is going to be taken up another notch, like this film was. The story, the stakes, and of course the stunts. For all we know, Cruise could finally go to space in order to take down the entity. We don't really know. That's kind of the fun element of this franchise, is like trying to think of like, well, how are they going to top this next time? Like, what kind of crazy practical stunt is Tom Cruise going to train 6 to 8 months for in this next movie? It's fascinating stuff. As you can probably tell, I really, really love part one. It's my favorite film of 2023 so far. I know we have films like Oppenheimer and Napoleon and Killers of the Flower Moon coming out, but Mission Impossible is like probably the most anticipated film for me of this year, and it totally delivered. I won't be surprised though if this ends up still being my favorite film by the end of the year. I just really, really love it. If you haven't seen the film and you're still listening to this episode, I mean, I spoiled quite a bit of it for you, but still go out and see it. It's such an awesome film. If you have seen it, see it again. It's just an incredible experience. A lot of great stuff for the whole family. It's definitely a 5-star film for me. And that seems to be the case for both audiences and critics. So that's awesome. It's really, really awesome that even the critics, who are very, very skeptical on action films, absolutely love this film. So that's really, really good positive thinking going into here. It hasn't quite hit the level of Top Gun Maverick yet, I don't think. But that's honestly just a really, really high bar to hit, even for the Mission Impossible franchise. Maverick is just something really, really special. It's going to be hard to top that. But it doesn't take anything away from Dead Reckoning. This was an awesome part one, and I just can't wait for part two, which is set to be released next summer. But with the, you know, the writers strike and the actors guild going on strike, I wouldn't be surprised if this date, you know, gets pushed back to 2025 or maybe even 2026. We'll have to wait and see how all this striking goes and kind of how Hollywood reacts to it. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Hollywood just straight up shuts down until October, November, or even the beginning of next year. We honestly don't know at this point. It's still, from what I understand, really, really early on in this whole striking process. But we're just going to have to wait and see. I hope the writers and actors get what they deserve. I mean, they are the backbone of this industry. I mean, look at Tom Cruise. I mean, he's literally putting his life on the line for every movie just for us to have a great experience in the theater. So I just hope the studios just kind of get over their desire to make profits and just, you know, pay the writers and actors what they deserve. And they are, like I said, they are the backbone of this industry. You know, they are putting in the time, they are putting in the work, and they need to be, you know, rewarded for that. So I hope this whole thing gets resolved very, very quickly so that we can, you know, get this Hollywood train back on track, and we can see all these movies as they are set to release. So right now, definitely support this film. I mean, go out to your local theater today, tomorrow, this weekend, whatever. Because it's honestly the movie of the year. You don't want to miss it. It's an incredible, incredible theater experience. All right, it's finally time to rank Dead Reckoning Part 1 against the rest of the Mission Impossible franchise. Here is the list as it stands right now. At number 1, we have Mission Impossible Fallout. 2, Rogue Nation. 3, Mission Impossible 3. 4, Ghost Protocol. 5, Mission Impossible. And then at 6, Mission Impossible 2. So this is what I really, really struggled with. Where do I put Dead Reckoning Part 1? It's one of the reasons why I wanted to see the film a second time so that I can get a full, you know, feeling of how I want to rank this against the franchise. That and because it's just an incredible film. I wanted to see it twice, just in case I missed something or if I felt a little different about something. But still felt the exact same that I did at the first screening. Just fantastic film. But I finally nailed down where I'm going to put this. I'm going to put this at number 3. That'll push Mission Impossible 3 down to number 4. Mission Impossible Fallout is honestly one of the greatest action films of the century. Top-notch Tom Cruise. We have Henry Cavill as the villain in there, who is fantastic. Alec Baldwin returns in there, which is awesome. Rebecca Ferguson's back. We have Sean Harris back as Solomon Lane. Overall, it's just an incredible action experience. It's truly, truly the best of this franchise. And then at number 2, so this is where I originally thought I would put Dead Reckoning, but after rewatching Rogue Nation, I absolutely love it. For the longest time, Rogue Nation was actually my favorite. I mentioned it during the Mission Impossible season that I did a while back. If you haven't listened to that season, go ahead and check that out. That was one of the first seasons I ever did for the podcast. I had a lot of fun doing that one, so go back and listen to that if you haven't. But for the longest time, Rogue Nation was my favorite of the franchise. But then after watching Fallout during that season on the show, Fallout is unmatched. I mean, it's right up there with Top Gun Maverick, because one of the greatest action movies of all time, especially, you know, this century, this last couple decades. So I can't quite put Dead Reckoning at number 2. So that's where I'm going to put, that's why I'm going to put it at number 3. Mission Impossible 3 is fantastic. I love the action in there. Michelle Monaghan is fantastic in there. We get Philip Seymour Hoffman in there as Owen Davian, the villain. It's a darker installment of the franchise, but I really, really love what Abrams did with it. Fascinating action sequences. You know, get the iconic shot of Cruise getting thrown into the car by the drone flying across the bridge. Just a lot of great stuff in there. But I think I like Dead Reckoning Part 1 just slightly more. So I'm going to put Dead Reckoning at number 3. I'm really curious to see, when part 2 comes out, where that, falls in on this list. Again, I'm going to want to do 2 watches on that one, just so I can, you know, get a better understanding of how I feel, but that's where I'm going to put it. So Dead Reckoning goes in at the new number 3. And I'm excited. You know, this is my favorite franchise, for sure. And I mean, even Mission Impossible 2 has some elements that I love. It's definitely not a great film. It'll forever be on the bottom of this franchise. I know a lot of people love Mission Impossible 1. I've seen that as high as number 1 on people's lists. It's at number 6 because, you know, it came out in 96. So you get that feeling of it. I know it's aged pretty well for the most part, but there's some elements in there that don't quite hold up for me, you know, in 2023. Ghost Protocol is a fantastic film. I am a lot more higher on it than I was previously when it came out. And then when you're getting up to, you know, Mission Impossible 3, Rogue Nation, Fallout, which I think are just the peak of this franchise. So it's just really, really hard to rank anything above those. Dead Reckoning, of course, is the exception to that, because it is now leapfrogging over Mission Impossible 3, but still, overall, this is such a fantastic franchise, and I just absolutely love it. So this is the new list. We have Fallout at 1, Rogue Nation at 2, Dead Reckoning Part 1 at 3, Mission Impossible 3 at 4, Ghost Protocol at 5, Mission Impossible 1 at 6, and then Mission Impossible 2 at 7. And then when Dead Reckoning Part 2 comes out, I will rank that on this list as well. So let's switch over to my Tom Cruise rankings. So this is my top 5 favorite Tom Cruise performances. I'm going to work from the bottom up. So number 5, I have Jerry Maguire. This is a film that I watched all the time as a kid. My mom actually introduced this to me back in the day, and I absolutely love it. I think Tom Cruise is fantastic. It's an incredible sports film. It's an awesome romantic film as well, with Renee Zellweger as Dorothy. You have Cuba Gooding Jr. as Rod Tidwell. Just an awesome cast, incredible story. Jonathan Lipnicki, who I grew up knowing as a little Ray in here, he's fantastic. I just love this film, love this story. Just one of Tom Cruise's best performances for sure. Number four, I have Edge of Tomorrow. This is the Doug Liman film about Tom Cruise battling these aliens as they attack Earth. This was written by Chris McQuarrie, who has now been directing the last few Mission Impossible installments. He also wrote Top Gun Maverick. So he has a very, very incredible relationship with Tom Cruise. But this is a great film. It's about time travel, so of course this is right up my alley. If you know me, you know that I love time travel. It is my favorite topic to watch in movies. We also get Emily Blunt, Bill Paxton, Brendan Gleeson. Just an awesome story, awesome action film. Really, really love the mech suits that they wear in there. Just an incredible Tom Cruise performance. It's a performance that I have never really seen him in. He's kind of this scared and pathetic soldier who does not really see in battle, but then he eventually, over time, learns how to become a great soldier and tries to figure out how to battle these aliens. It's just a really, really awesome movie. I think it's one of the more underrated action films for sure. Number three. So this is, he's not like a starring role in this, but I just love his performance in here. And that is Tropic Thunder. If you are familiar with Tropic Thunder, you know what I mean by an incredible performance by Tom Cruise. But if you're not, this is the Ben Stiller, Jack Black, Robert Downey Jr. Film about them making the movie Tropic Thunder. Incredible action comedy. Tom Cruise plays the guy that's kind of funding the film that Ben Stiller, Robert Downey, and Jack Black are playing in. You also get some Matthew McConaughey in here. You get some Bill Hader in here. Danny McBride. It's just an incredible cast. But Tom Cruise specifically, just phenomenal. You know, he plays Les Grossman, who is this big exec who's in charge of the studio funding the film. He's wearing a fat suit. He's got the big hairy hands. He's got the bald cap. Just incredible performance. I mean, if you've seen the film, you know about this. But so we get to that negotiation scene where he's on the phone with the guys that kidnapped Ben Stiller, and you know he's threatening them, and you get that incredible monologue from Tom Cruise where he's like, basically he's like, I will massacre you. I will set you on fire. Of course, I'm paraphrasing because I don't want to, you know, I want to keep this episode as clean as possible in case we have some younger listeners out there. But if you just go and see, you know, you can even just YouTube the Tom Cruise scene where he negotiates with the drug dealers who kidnapped Ben Stiller. It's phenomenal performance by Tom Cruise. So it's at number three for sure. Number two, it's Mission Impossible Fallout. I just talked about this in the rankings. You know, the best of the franchise, the best Tom Cruise, I think, in this franchise. Just incredible stuff that he's doing here with the stunts, with the story. I love the Ethan Hunt character. I love how Tom Cruise plays him. And he's at the peak of his performance in Fallout. It's just phenomenal stuff. And then number one, you could probably guess what it is. It's Top Gun Maverick. This is the return of Captain Pete Mitchell, a.k.a. Maverick, played by Tom Cruise. We also get Jennifer Connelly, Miles Teller as Rooster, the son of the late Goose from the first film. Val Kilmer shows up again. John Hamm, Charles Parnell, who Parnell also shows up in Top Gun, in Dead Reckoning Part 1, which is awesome to see. Just phenomenal Tom Cruise. My favorite performance of his by far. Truly, truly, truly outstanding stuff. I love what he does in this film. It's definitely my favorite Tom Cruise movie as well. One of my favorite movies of all time. It's probably my favorite movie of all time, honestly. Just incredible stuff by Tom Cruise. This movie can never be matched, I don't think. I mean, Fallout is getting pretty close up there as I rewatch that over and over again, but just Tom Cruise is just fantastic in Top Gun Maverick. I just absolutely love him. So that is my top five for Tom Cruise: Maverick, Fallout, Tropic Thunder, Edge of Tomorrow, and of course, Jerry Maguire. So check out this list and the Mission Possible list on both IMDb and Letterboxd. All you have to do is just search for Cinematic Reviews, and you can find every list that I have put on there. I'm always adding on to there as well. So check out those today. Well, that'll do it for this week's Mission Impossible Field Reaction episode. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, to tune in next time for the reaction episode of Oppenheimer, the newest film from the acclaimed director Christopher Nolan, which is set to be released later this week on July 21st. Also, check out the Fast and Furious season every week on the show. Next up, we will head to Tokyo for the Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift. This episode will self-destruct in 5 seconds.